With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's bring in Mike Giardi from the NFL Network and figure out where we should be focused early on in July and maybe the first 2 weeks of August. Where will the excitement be, and what should NFL fans look forward to? So, Mike, take it away. What are we excited about? What are we anxious about?
We're anxious about a bunch of different things. I mean, so many different storylines that you mentioned, just in terms of sort of where's Deshaun going to end up? Is he going to end up playing at all this year? Is Aaron Rodgers going to say, yeah, I actually really truly do want the Jeopardy job and I'm willing to retire and pay back money? That's another one that we'll be looking at. But I just think there's so many young quarterbacks that are in the spotlight. You know, can they make the jump, whether it's Tua in Miami, whether it's Daniel Jones in New York? How do some of these rookie quarterbacks fare? I mean, there's obviously going to be a lot on Zach Wilson's plate and Trevor Lawrence's plate, but when you see some of the stuff that they did in college, you can't help but at least be excited about what this could potentially look like on Sunday. So I love this quarterback group, and I think there's a ton of questions and you know, some big stakes for some of those guys.
No doubt. And, you know, you got Darnold going down to Carolina. And inevitably, Mike, as you know, and we've seen it here, you know, when you have a bad football team and a quarterback that doesn't live up to expectations, there are going to be people that think he's – not very good and that they made a bad pick. And then there's going to be another camp that says, look, he doesn't have anybody around him. You watch when he goes somewhere and plays with some better players and better schemes and is coached up and et cetera, you watch how much better he will be. And those debates have been going on forever in football, and they will 50 years from now as well. But Darnold is that perfect example of a guy who's going to get new life somewhere. And we're going to find out if another guy off the Gase train ends up like Ryan Tannehill and becoming a lot more competent somewhere else. That'll be fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Sam coming out of USC, and I like some of his moments early on in his career. He's had this penchant, though, for making a couple mistakes a game, and he has to eliminate those, maybe not entirely. I mean, we're not asking him to go from, you know, double-figure interceptions to five, but, you know, keep it in the single digits. He's got more weapons around him than he's ever had, and Joe Brady is someone who's young, he can relate to. I thought Joe did a really nice job last year as the offensive coordinator for Carolina with a team that had some issues. You know, Teddy Bridgewater was sort of hot and cold, and there were some things that they didn't trust Teddy to do last year. You lose McCaffrey for a better part of the year. I think, you know, Sam's got to look at the situation and realize he has to take advantage of it, because it might be his last as a potentially a starting quarterback and potentially a franchise quarterback in this league. But I certainly like the pieces that are in place for him. And, you know, you're hearing good things, but we'll see. You know, shorts and T-shirts is one thing. Now you got to do it with pads on and when guys are trying to take your head off. And that's, you know, that's coming in about, 6 weeks or so.
What did you make of, and I assume you're somewhat familiar with it anyway, the Tom Brady story about Tampa not disclosing his MCL injury and the league could do something about it because he played the entire season with a torn MCL? And, you know, it's the stuff of legends, but it's also a violation in not using that Thursday to report your players' injuries. What do you make of that? Is that just a July story that will blow over, or is there any teeth in it?
I think that there is. The league has to decide how much they want to get involved with something like this, because I think it happens everywhere. It's happened in New England. It's happened in New York, and it will continue to happen everywhere where guys' injuries aren't disclosed, or maybe the wrong body part is given. I know Brady, when he was here, sprained his MCL in 2018, and he kept showing up for practice every day as a full participant, and they didn't list him, I don't believe, for the better part of that period with a knee injury. Now, it was a sprained MCL. He played with it for 6 weeks, and if you look at his numbers over that six-week period, they weren't that great. But nothing happened there, and I just think that's the league. I think the injury report has always sort of been loosely governed, and I think it will continue to be loosely governed. And if they want to, then if they want to go after Tampa Bay for this, then, like I said, they're going to have to start looking at every single piece of practice footage week in and week out for all 32, because I think it happens everywhere to some level.
Yeah, I saw that in the breach story on CBS that the Steelers were fined $100,000 in 2019, 75 for the team, 25 for Mike Tomlin, for not accurately listing Ben Roethlisberger on an injury report when he missed a practice during the week with an elbow injury, and they listed it instead as a veteran rest day, and that cost them $100,000. So it's not unprecedented.
Yeah, I just, look, I think these franchises make so much money and are worth so much money that $100,000 is is kind of a joke, you're trying to send a message to other teams, and I think other teams are looking to go, yeah, $100,000, we can write that out, off concessions from one beer stand on a Saturday night football game or Sunday night football game. So I don't think that's that big a deal.
How difficult is the negotiation of COVID with the clubs and camps and schedule, et cetera, for everybody involved? We know it's not ideal, that's obvious, but how big a deal is it, and how much contingency has to be planned for that you hope you never use?
Yeah, I think we're kind of in the same boat we were last year. I mean, maybe to a lesser degree, because there was certainly more unknown about COVID when we embarked on the season last year, but now with the Delta variant and maybe others popping up and teams not being fully vaccinated, you've seen some numbers. I know a couple teams are under 50%, and I think there's only 10 teams over 85% right now, which I believe is going to be the threshold to sort of loosen some of the COVID rules that they had last year if they're over 85%, although I'm not even sure that the league and the PA have officially announced that, but I think that seems to be the target. But I think you're going to have situations where, yeah, on a Thursday or a Friday or a Saturday morning or maybe even a Sunday morning, important player X is going to test positive for COVID and isn't going to be playing in the game. And there's going to be all sorts of hoops that are going to have to be jumped through. But I think if we saw one thing from the league last year is, come hell or high water, they were playing the games. And I think we'll be in the same spot this year. They're going to press forward.
Across business and across the country, this debate is going on, but obviously for teams, a lot of fans wonder, why isn't it just mandatory? What seems to be the holdup? And when we talk about our favorite teams and the fact that some of them are less than 50% perhaps, or some of our favorite players are not vaccinated, it seems sort of disgruntled fans out there that don't quite understand the environment and what they're afraid of. Do you feel like the league is just going to continue to allow each team to make its own policy?
Yeah, I sort of think, with them being the overriding on all of it, but yeah, I think that's sort of how it's going to have to play. I think you're seeing it in businesses. Some are saying, in order to work for me, you have to be vaccinated. Others are saying that's a personal choice, and I can't enforce that on you. So I think it's a case-by-case basis. I just think if they open that can of worms, I think they're going to be headed for court, is what I think. And I think they'd rather spend less time in court, no time in court if possible. So I think that's sort of where, they fall. And I would just say, look, I can tell you, I got vaccinated. I'm going to trust science. I'm going to trust
that we can get the... Would you think, Mike, that they might be headed to court anyway? In other words, you want me to go out and play against a team that isn't vaccinated? You can't make me play against a team that isn't vaccinated, and you can't hold my money up because I won't play against a team that isn't vaccinated. So I don't know that litigation can be avoided here if this is going to continue and they're going to make them play under these circumstances. I would imagine that there are plenty of players that say, look, I'm vaccinated, but unlike other businesses, I have to interact with the other business. The business is called the Chicago Bears, and I've got to interact with those Chicago Bears. And if they're not going to be vaccinated, and you're going to force me to play against them, we're going to have a problem. So I imagine that's going to happen anyway, right?
Yeah, I think you may absolutely be onto something there. It's, you know, we're still a week or so away from camps opening, and I think, you know, I think we'll start to see and you'll start to hear as we get around these players a little bit more. You know, last year everything was done by Zoom. This year there may be some open locker rooms. I mean, I think it's still that's what they're angling for. But I think, you know, we'll start to get more of a feel for, you know, how this plays out. I mean, I know certain teams are saying to media members, you're not in the press box unless you're vaccinated. And that's, you know, that's how we're going to be governed, at least by, again, by certain teams. I don't know if that's a league-wide thing yet, but that's how certain teams are going to play it. So we'll see how it works with the players. But, you know, look, like I said, I think we were all hoping that this was going to be a story in the past.
Yes.
And unfortunately, it is still going to be very much front and center this year.
Yeah, the best we could do is two steps forward, one back. It's not easy, that's for sure. Talking to Mike Giardi from the NFL Network as we discuss, well, right now we're going to discuss a little bit about the AFC East just because it is an intriguing division for sure. Obviously, Jet fans hoping for better things. Kind of a snake-bitten year for those Patriots last year. And I would think that they're more optimistic going into this season, but Buffalo's not going away. Miami seems to be on the right track. What's the overall feel you think in New England right now for where this division is and what it will take to be successful?
Well, certainly they feel like they have addressed some of the talent shortages that they had last year, particularly through free agency. As we know, they spent like drunken sailors. But that comes with a little bit of a, you know, an asterisk. And even players on the team and even the owner, Bob Kraft, have said, this isn't normally how good teams do business. And this isn't how we've ever really done business. So this is different. They've certainly gone out on a limb. Now, there are reasons for that. Obviously, the cap shortage because of COVID last year. They were one of the few teams that had a boatload of money going into free agency. But I also think, and I'll say this till I'm blue in the face, that to me, the driving force in all of this was 7-9. It was unacceptable to the owner. It was unacceptable to the coaching staff. And for the guys that have been here, and have tasted success seemingly year after year, it was not acceptable for them either. And to me, that really was the overriding factor in going out and spending this money. Now, I think on paper right now they're a playoff team, but can they be a threat? Well, I think that's going to depend on how quickly some of these free agents integrate, because that's not always 100% hit rate. And, of course, what happens at quarterback, where Cam Newton is the holdover, Mac Jones is the first-round pick. And I think, you know, Cam has the leg up as they head into camp, but I don't think that the door is closed on Mac making a run at the job.
That sounds fair to me, and I felt like last year, every time I turned Cam on, something else was going wrong. He really had a snake-bitten year. Not that he played that great, but it just seemed like every bad thing that could happen at a key moment of the game happened to him last year, and I don't know whether those things even out the way some people say they do or not, but I just felt like it really was an odd year. One thing I think that is fair to say, even though it hasn't been proven by the Jets and Dolphins yet, it has been proven by Buffalo, there seems to be less inept in the AFC East than there was. Looks like the teams are closer to being on track and being competitive again.
I would agree completely. I think, you know, part of that was teams, in particular in Miami and with the Jets, constantly turning things over. Two or three years, it didn't work. We're firing a coach. We're getting a new quarterback. We're just constantly moving on, right? And because they were chasing Brady and the Patriots. And that was like, oh, well, if it's not working now, then let's blow it up and let's start again with somebody fresh, or let's bring in a new GM. He has a lame duck coach for a year. Then he hires a new coach. You're buying yourself time, but you're resetting the program. And I think now with Brady out of the division, with the success that you saw the Bills have last year, just sort of, hey, we're building. We've dabbled in free agency at various points, you know, built up their offensive line in part through free agency, but, you know, good drafting, all those sorts of things. Now they've retained their players. I talked about, you know, Tampa getting all 22 starters back. Buffalo did an awesome job, because I didn't think they were going to be able to keep their key players. Matt Milano, Darrell Williams, their right tackle, is a pretty good player. They kept them, and I think that's huge for continuity and understanding the window that they have. So I think if the Jets are smart, and I think the Miami has been smart now, they understand, like, it's a build, you know, it just doesn't happen overnight. You have to establish a culture. They're doing that, you know, now it's up to Robert Saleh to do that in New York. And I think there are some pieces in place there. I think that team is going to be, I've said it before, I think they're going to be frisky this year. You know, I really do. I think there's going to be some energy from that team that we haven't seen in the last couple of years. And I think they're going to be dangerous to some of the better teams in the league at various points during the year.
Gut feeling on Rodgers. What do you think happens?
Yeah, you know, he loves this. I think he's been enjoying the attention that he's gotten from this.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day, though, I don't think he wants to pay back the money. I don't think he wants to write the Packers a $22 million check or whatever it is. So I feel like when push comes to shove, Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing for Green Bay this year. Now, what happens next year? No idea. But this year, I think, you know, he actually kind of did him a disservice by waiting to drop that bomb on draft night. You know, that coordinated media attack, if you will. And, you know, they kind of left him in a position where we can't just do this in the snap of a finger. And now maybe they got a year to kind of map things out, decide if Jordan Love can be the next guy, and then, you know, trade Aaron Rodgers for the sun, the moon, and the stars, or work it out with him, whatever it is that he wants. And I'm assuming it's basically just money. Give him the money. If he played like he did last year, give him the money and let him do what Tom Brady did in Tampa.
So not enough money in those State Farm commercials for him to walk away, huh?
It's all about respect, and respect equals money, right? Anytime anybody ever says it, it all has to do with dollars and cents.
No doubt about it. Hey, Mike, good conversation. We appreciate it, and enjoy the football season. It'll be here before you know it.
Yeah, anytime, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.